I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
Another shitty rainy day here on Long Island, and here we are back at the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. How's that for an intro? Really gets people sucked in, huh?
Yeah, suck is a good word.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. He is your host. He is the Stallion. I'm the piece of shit that sits next to him, known as the Enforcer, and we are back for yet another week here.
Huh? I'm sure you're really excited about it.
I'm stoked. Like. Yeah, are you excited? I'm excited.
Yeah, sure.
It's pouring. It's like a hurricane or something. Just drove like 45 minutes on the Long Island Expressway, which is Satan's nuts anyway. Anyway,
I'm starting to understand why we have 100% abandonment on our show. Most of
what are you talking about? Pulling back the curtain, huh? Mm-hmm. So, listen, we dropped the ball last week in, you know, a couple of different aspects of our life, I feel like.
Several. One of them.
One would be the many. No what?
Many?
Good, I'm sorry. No. Yeah. Would you like the detail of the aspects?
I think you had it covered. So you got.
Yeah. We did not do No Mercy predictions. We had hoped to do something on Saturday night, and Saturday night didn't happen. Really kind of kicked us in the nuts. He ran into the goon, you know, Bill Irwin, if you will, early to mid '90s WWE superstar. Was he also Abe Knuckleball Schwartz?
No,
he wasn't. Right. The goon was just the goon.
Yeah.
Was there nobody else? He wasn't another gimmick? Well, the goon is a bozo, but we got a chance to, you know, see him on Saturday. It was cool hanging out with him.
Yeah.
He wore his skates. He was carried around a hockey stick. That was something. Anyway, we watched No Mercy, we're going to talk about that. We'll give some of our football picks in. But there's been a lot of scuttlebutt on the... on the internets lately, and I've got something to say about that.
I'm disgusted.
That goes for a lot of people. Breaking news. I'm breaking this for all you dirt sheet readers, internet marks, and whatever else you want. Not everything you read on the internet is true. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by this because I've been doing a lot of thinking. A couple of, in terms of professional wrestling, not in terms of like politics and stuff like that, because that's a horse of a different color. WrestleMania 4 is still my favorite. Thanks, Donnie. So I would say about 3 or 4 weeks ago, everywhere in terms of you read on any pro wrestling website was how much heat Enzo Amore had, correct?
True.
That was a big thing. Everybody, the office hated him. Everybody hated him in the locker room. They were going to bury him. And now what? It's a month and a half, 6 months, 6 weeks later, I should say. He main events a segment on Monday Night Raw. And he's the king of 205 Live, which is, I'm sorry, he's not the king of the cruiserweights, but he's the stalwart. Well, that's a good word. Feel free to Google that one. Of 205 Live, and they're saying they're gonna push him to the moon, and he's ratings and whatnot. And 6 weeks ago, you would think the guy was as good as fired after his feud with Big Cass. Before that, I would say one of the big things was Brock Lesnar was leaving WWE to return to UFC. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my mind, both of those stories, the WWE used in storyline, right? How Brock or Paul Heyman said Brock was going to go back to the UFC if he lost the four-way match at
SummerSlam.
Thank you. And last week on Monday Night Raw, Enzo got his ass kicked by the entire locker room, playing up to everybody hating Enzo Amore. I'm what you call a skeptic, Joe. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think the WWE is the one leaking all of this rhetoric to the dirt sheets, who's then reporting it as a fact, and then in turn using it in storyline. I think it was all an inside job, man. I think that's what they're doing because it's the only way to, I guess, to keep, not the only way, but it's one of the, it's a cheap way to get, I guess, people talking and eyes on the product is by leaking, you know, quote-unquote leaking something. But all you're doing is you're planting. It's a plant, Joe. It's all a work. Everything is a work. That's how I feel. And that, my, oh my gosh, I had a good idea. We could do a, we could play a drop of, like, change dropping, and I could say that's my 2 cents. Getting that for next
week. I'll work on that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go on the list. But what do you think? You think that's true? Or you talk to me.
Well, I guess I would say, as far as like stories and information leaking or coming from WWE or with inside of it, I don't know where else it would come from, right? Like any of these stories that come out, whether it's fact or fiction or speculation, it's coming from someone inside the organization, right? Whether it's, you know, an agent or an official that's leaking it to a dirt sheet, or wrestlers that are leaking it to a dirt sheet, or they're purposely, or they're just honestly giving answers about questions or whatever it might be. So I think that, you know, all these, no one really outside of WWE has information unless they get it, they're getting it from somebody inside the organization. So I guess that would be the first thing. And as far as those two specific examples, the Brock UFC thing, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously he wanted to go back last year, and he did the match with Mark Hunt, and, you know, after the whole thing with, you know, he did the feud with Ambrose, and then he kind of took time off and went back. So then they came to the agreement of letting him do it. So he seemed like he was interested in at least in some capacity going back. I think his contract is up with WWE, I want to say next year. I could be wrong about that. We have to check. So, of course, the stories are going to be out there that, you know, is he going to re-sign or is he going to go back to UFC, and then how's that all going to shake out? There were the rumors of him potentially fighting John Jones towards the end of this year, and then that fell through because Jones got himself suspended again, right? So,
but Brock is still technically suspended from the State Athletic Commission, too.
I thought that ran out, no? Isn't it like a year?
Thought it was 2 years. It could have been a year. I thought it was 2 years, but yeah. So he, because after he tested positive, I know that suspended him for a year. Not a bad gig though. You test positive, you forfeit your whatever part of your purse was. You still make a couple of million. You go make money doing the WWE, and then you come back to the UFC, and you really never served your suspension. All you did was take some time off and professionally wrestle. That's a good gig.
Yeah. And as far as the Enzo stuff goes, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say whether all these stories about him being annoying backstage or true or not. You know, it could just be stuff that gets embellished or what have you. I mean, he came all the way up through NXT in their system and had the run with Big Cass as a tag team for a long while, and then they split. What I had always been hearing was, as annoying as he was and as much trouble as he may or may not have been causing, he was still selling merchandise, and his segments on Raw were, you know, decently rated comparative to other segments on Raw. So even though maybe he was not well-liked as a person, he was still making them money, so they were still featuring him, at least in some at some level. Now that Cass got hurt, they moved him to 205 Live. That was something that was suggested, I believe, by a couple of different folks. I know Jericho was one that had suggested doing that to try to bring ratings and viewers over to 205 Live, which is a show that's been struggling since they started it. So that's what they've done, and they turned him heel essentially this past week. Some of his actions when he beat Neville for the Cruiserweight title, and then, you know, having all the Cruiserweights kind of banned against him. And he is pretty annoying on TV, too. I think his act run pretty dry, especially without Cass now. It's kind of just pretty old and played out, and I think people are starting to be into it less and less and less. Whether that impacts his merchandise sales and whatever else they're concerned about, time will tell. But
do you think those stories about him being that annoying are true, or is that, you know, the WWE or people on the inside letting those stories get out, so it inevitably, if you are going to turn him heel, you kind of already think he's a douche, and they're working, quote-unquote, the smarks?
Yeah, I think, I'm sure there's at least some level of truth to the stories that there are, right? That whole story about him on the bus and almost getting thrown off, and Roman throwing him off the bus and stuff like that. I'm sure that's at least somewhat true. I don't know why they would concoct a story like that that's so detailed and have it not be true. The fact that they decided to use it on air, yeah, they're probably taking advantage of some real life stuff that's happened, and they seem to be doing that here and there at different parts of the show. Miz obviously has brought it up in interviews with Enzo, and then Miz has done other things, you know, these shoot style type back and forth that these guys have. Cena and Roman had did that a lot in the build up to their match at No Mercy last week.
Overdid it, maybe some would say.
So they're doing that more these days. So I guess I would say that they are exploiting some of this backstage stuff to try to turn it into more compelling television, I would say.
Well, I mean, apparently it's working because we just go into a little bit of Monday Night Raw. So the whole Enzo shit, right? Like he's a heel. Enzo was a face going into Sunday Night No Mercy, right?
Right.
And Neville was the heel. He was the long reigning heel champion. Enzo cheats to win the title. The next night, you inevitably turn Enzo heel. Not inevitably, like obviously, because he buried everybody else in the locker room. He buried the heels. He buried the faces. You turn him heel in front of the crowd, so they start booing him. And then you have all the locker room beat the hell out of him. It wouldn't, but to me, that kind of gives him. It didn't really make the whole. I guess turn, if you will, didn't really make sense to me because ideally, you know, if you're gonna have a bunch of people beat somebody up, you wanted to gain sympathy. I kind of was just like, yeah, good, yeah, like good, you know, like I like good for them, you know. So it didn't. I didn't watch 205 Live, admittedly. Did you?
No.
See that
long running streak of never watching 205
Live. I think I watched maybe the first month, and I haven't since then. But also to be fair, I mean they're not booking 205 Live well at all. You know, there's a lack of character development and nobody cares about it. But you know, so that was that whole Enzo thing to me didn't make a lot of sense on Raw at least, and maybe we'll just get him only on 205 Live. I hope. I don't think it's gonna happen, but who knows?
No, I think their formula is, you know, do stuff on Monday to build to, you know, 205 Live on Tuesday. That seems to be their pattern.
So, is there anything else on Raw that, you know, really stuck out to you?
I mean, there was a lot of guys missing from the show, so there was stuff that just didn't, like Brock wasn't on the show, Cena was not on the show. They did Roman against Miz. They seemed to be setting up a Shield reunion, right, with those guys against the Miztourage, because I guess they don't have any other three-man units to team them up against.
Nope, so. But you have an Intercontinental Champion in Miz, so maybe you could do something with the belts. As long as it's not Jason Jordan, I'm cool with it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't seem to. I think at one point there was a plan to have Roman win it. I don't know if that's still the plan or not, but I think that changed. So I don't know. I mean, this is just seems like it's a holdover because they need to get to Survivor Series. They have this extra pay-per-view in October now to get through on the Raw side. And
what's the name of that one?
TLC is the TLC, October right. show, which I think was the show that the Shield debuted at as a team, right, in 2012, 13?
Is that when Seth Rollins took the table bump from like 40 feet up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think was it was
that
2012.
In New York? That was New York, wasn't it? That was the Coliseum, I think.
I don't think it was the Coliseum.
Now I'm going to look it up while you talk.
I think it was TLC 2012, I'm going to say, because CM Punk was the champion at that time.
Okay.
So that would be the show. But I guess they're trying to use the Shield reunion as a way to get people interested in the current TLC pay-per-view for lack of any other feuds and stuff going on.
Barclays wasn't Coliseum, you're right.
Yeah, I think it was in the area. So that was that. I guess that's really what's coming up for TLC. I don't know what other feuds or angles they will be setting up for that show. Obviously, they just came off of this, you know, No Mercy pay-per-view, so they've got a few weeks to build it up.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, with so many people missing from the show, it was just a steady dose of Roman and The Miz. I mean, they were in like three or four segments, you know, each, so which is fine. But again, you've got a three-hour show to fill, and you're not going to have a lot of your heavy hitters on there. You know, there's a lot of people that are missing, and there's a lot of this same hashtag same old stuff, if you will. As far as No Mercy goes, did any matches really stick out to you? I mean, Reigns and Cena was good. It was okay. Like,
the tag match, I think, was probably the best one on the show that most people seem to think of. Of course, Cesaro busting his own teeth out of his mouth on the...
And then wrestling for the 12 minutes.
On the slingshot spot. So, that match had a lot of cool stuff in it.
Yeah, I really like that match. The powerbomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, the powerbomb off the rope onto Rollins was really good.
That was probably the best match. The Cena-Roman match was also good. I thought it started slow and got better as it went along. The women's match was probably better than I expected it would be, I would say, given all the people involved.
Nia took a crazy sunset flip powerbomb bump, or well, powerbomb from the apron. She sold out like a champ. That was the first time I've seen her really, you know, take a big bump like that. I thought she really shined in that match. And so did Emma, got a lot of offense in, which was nice. It wasn't the same, you know, the same usual kind of Bayley Sasha thing over and over and over again. So that was a good match. Back to the Cena match. I mean, really, with the four AAs to Roman Reigns kicking out of, like, come on. That was overkill. Cena hit this super duper AA from the top rope. I was just like a... That was a very, very WWE style, you know, match. And I think they had so many false finishes because that's... I don't know. The attitude adjustment has been a weak finisher for a very, very long time. And, you know, it takes more than one to put somebody down. But for four times in that match, and Roman's going to kick out of all of them, I didn't really like that.
Yeah, you know, I think they're just... Their only direction seems to be Roman and Brock long term. So all these things that they do, you know, in that match and then the Brock and the Braun match, which was the main event, it's all really designed or seemingly designed to get to where they, you know, that point down the road. So things like Roman kicking out of a ton of Cena's finishers and nobody kicking out of Brock's finisher anymore, I assume that stuff's all by design so that when they get to Brock and Roman at WrestleMania 34, that, you know, when Lesnar hits an F5, everyone thinks that Roman's going to be done and he'll kick out and, like, all these things will happen. They're trying to make that match the...
Dude, come on. It's 8 months away and you just ruined the end for me. I didn't even think about that. And you've ruined the end of the match. Damn it. Who am I kidding? Wasn't going to watch it anyway. But that's a really good point. What did you think about the Braun Strowman-Brock Lesnar match?
I mean, I think, like everyone else seems to think, it was a little bit disappointing. I didn't give Braun any chance of walking away with the title, so it wasn't like I was invested in that way where I was expecting him to win. But I think they could have done a little bit better of a job protecting him, and, you know, they could have done some more stuff. I mean, the SummerSlam match that they had, I think it was, what was it, like four or five way? I forget what was in it, but they did a lot of cool stuff in that match, especially with the big man spots, and the crowd was going nuts for it. And with this, it didn't really... They started off pretty good, I thought. They had like a sequence where Brock gave Strowman like a German suplex, and then he just bounced right up and no-sold it and gave Brock a choke slam and then a power slam like back-to-back.
Yeah, it started off high. That was three count like last year.
But after that, it kind of just... and again, Strowman hit his finisher three times, and he couldn't win, and then... You know, Brock hits one F5 and he wins. So that's...
What's his finisher?
The power, that running power slam.
Oh, I thought we... I don't know if he was still using the reverse choke slam. Remember he was using that for a while?
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen him do that, actually. That's a good point. But I think that running power slam, I thought, was acting as his finish.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But he hit it three times and he didn't get a win off of it, so...
Yeah, so that match, it was a little slow. It kind of, like you said, it started off super duper hot, but it was the same formula as a Samoa Joe match, right? Like Brock Lesnar takes a beating... And then, out of nowhere, he hits the F5. I was watching it with The Natural, and she was pretty frustrated. I believe she even texted you. She was so frustrated about that match. She's like, at the end of the F5, she looks at me, she's like, what the shit? I'm like, I know. She's like, so wait, let me get this straight. And this is the casual fan. She's like, Braun Strowman does all this, and then just one F5, that's all it takes? I was like, yeah, it's the F5. That is all it takes. But... For me, who like literally just, what, 3-4 months ago, just watched a Samoa Joe match, it was the same formula. Brock kicks out of a finisher. Brock gets out of the finisher. Brock gets out of the finisher. F5. I went back and I watched some of Brock's stuff from like 2002, late 2001 or early 2002. Man, he was such a... I don't want to say he was a better wrestler back then, but he was definitely far more dynamic, you know? He had like the... overhead belly to belly. He was just so much more mobile. He's put on so much... mass artificially That he doesn't move as well as he used to, which, I mean, he doesn't need to because they're booking him a lot differently now than they did back then, but he's definitely far less mobile now than he was 14 years ago. But hey, so am I. So what
do I Yeah, know? I mean, you know, somebody who's been, you know, either wrestling professionally, playing football or mixed martial arts fighting for 15, 16 years, probably longer than that, you know, from the year he's 38 now, I think, or you know, back that when he, you know, 2002 when he debuted on the main roster, right? He was like 22, 23. So, you know, it stands to reason, I guess, that he would not be able to be moving as quickly as he was 15, 16 years ago without.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting him to do a shooting star press, but just the way he almost lumbers around the ring. He's very, like, he, I don't know, his body just changed a lot since then. I mean, I guess it just, he's a different worker than he was back then, but I also think they book him much more slowly, much more plodding, and he's kind of made just to take a beating. He's not like the kind of champion to me that should be taking a beating and then hitting his finish out of nowhere, you know? Like, I understand you want to make Braun look very strong, you want to make Samoa Joe look very strong, but Brock Lesnar is the beast incarnate, not the guy that hits a, you know, that gets beat up for 20 minutes and hits a finisher and leaves the ring. So I think it's, I mean, I guess it's been working for them, and if, you know, it worked in the Samoa Joe match, I hope Samoa Joe, I just saw he said he's going to come back soon, or he's on his way back soon. I think that would be a nice injection into the title picture.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, with Brock, it's, you know, it's much different now, right? He's not, you know, when you're looking at 2002 to 2004, which was his, you know, his short run on the main roster, he was there every week, right? He was, you know, he was wrestling at least once or twice a week, he was doing all pay-per-views, he was a champion. Now he's a special attraction, right? So he comes in, does a few pay-per-views a year, right? Does a certain amount of Raws to build up to that. So, you know, it's just a very different, you know, way of booking him. That's just how, that's what it is today. So versus back then. So he was more of like a, you know, he was a mat wrestler, he was a grappler, he had the college, you know, championships, whatever it was. And then, you know, since then he's done a lot of stuff, right? He left, he, you know, achieved everything that he achieved in UFC. He's now come back. He's done a bunch of stuff here. He's been the champion a couple times again, but he doesn't have, he's not going to be there every week doing matches on Raw and or SmackDown or whatever it is. So he's just a special attraction. He's going to wrestle these short sprints probably, which is what they want him to do, rather than work like a 25 minute match every time out. You know, that's, it's just how they're doing it these days, I guess, versus back then. It's just kind of a different animal.
Yeah. Oh, animal. Well, it was Batista, right?
Yeah.
I kind of miss Batista. Him and his blue. Remember that? The blue sleeves.
Blue Tista,
am I right? Mm. Something else that came out earlier this week, I don't know if anybody saw this, the Evolve Wrestling, the head booker, Gabe Sapolsky. Somebody from Evolve leaked an email that he, and Evolve works kind of hand-in-hand with NXT, they're almost like a, I don't want to say like a feeder system, but they kind of are. William Regal has a hand in Evolve. So before their event last weekend, Gabe sent out an email to everybody that was wrestling on the card, and somebody leaked the email, which at the end of the day is kind of a douche move, right? I would think so.
Yeah.
And here are a couple of things that Gabe said in this email to the talents. First thing, make every lockup on the show count. I saw Regal last week, and he was at Bola Battle of Los Angeles. I was surprised for him to say he didn't see many good lockups there. Honestly, he said he barely saw one good lockup. That was one thing. Two, don't look into the floor camera at any time. This is a Vince WWE thing. I really don't care if you look into the camera or not, but this is a habit you will have to break as soon as you go to WWE NXT. Two. That was two. Three, make every kick, strike, and chop count. I don't mean go in there and beat each other up. Just don't waste your kick, strikes, chops, and sell it. In addition, consider who your opponent is. If Keith Lee is striking you, sell it bigger than if someone smaller were striking you. Keep the situation and opponent in mind with your selling and how you do kick, strikes, and chops. Oh, interesting. Four, don't do cool stuff for the sake of cool stuff. Everything should be about winning the match. I'm not saying don't do cool stuff, but don't do it just to do it. Challenge yourself to break your normal routine of spots. I don't care what your what match rating you get on Twitter. This is small picture stuff. I want everyone to think big picture and long game. I can explain this better in person. So that was really... Oh, rules when it comes to Evolve. No swearing, nothing derogatory towards minorities, women, ethnicities of any group. Joey Styles, by the way, broke two of those already.
Yeah, that's why he got fired.
Yeah. No pile drivers, neck bumps, apron spots, anything that drops you on your head. Nothing hardcore without permission. No mic work without permission. Be super nice to kids. No guests in your hotel room. So that's pretty interesting stuff. Nobody knows who leaked it. Gabe says he now knows. I don't. Now, you know, I'm not going to speculate. I don't want to toss any names out there. But Gabe came out afterwards and he said that almost cost him his position within NXT. So I don't know if Gabe Sapolsky has some sort of standing with NXT aside from, you know, the partnership they have. But there's a lot in there, I guess, to take in. One would be no pile drivers. That's a Vince McMahon thing. And I mean, I've been to Evolve shows where they've done several pile drivers. So I guess that's new as of the partnership. A lot of it kind of, you know, a lot of it does make sense, but it really seems like your natural progression now is from Evolve to WWE. And if that's what you want to do, I guess you're going to have to play by their rules at this point.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what the goal is of some of these guys that are there, is to eventually get some or all of them to NXT, then they're going to have to, you know, it makes sense to try to get them to be following some of the protocols and stuff like that NXT does versus, you know, not. And that way when they get there, they're more already kind of trained to do that. I'm not sure I understand when Gabe says it could have cost him a position with NXT. Like, how does that... I'm sure they know he's doing this because it's under probably their direction or something to say, okay, these are the things we want your wrestlers to do or not do.
Right.
So here's an, you know, so he's just reminding them of that. So I don't know why that would cost him his role if like NXT found out that he was enforcing their policies. Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, I think it's more of a, I'm upset that somebody leaked this and I'm going to make it sound bad kind of thing to me.
That's how it sounds to me.
And I understand where it's coming from. I'd be pretty tight too if somebody that I try. Obviously, he said he's been doing this for like 16 years. He's been sending emails like this for the shows back to ECW. So I would be pretty upset too if somebody leaked that, because I think this is like, it's kind of private stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some kind of clause that says you can't do that too. But I don't know. I don't know what. The other thing it saw on that email was it said there's going to be a transitional period for Evolve, and now they're focusing only on in-the-ring stuff, and they're not focusing on character development. That was another part of the email which I didn't read, which is interesting to me, but it seems like, I wonder if the in-the-ring stuff is to prepare you to get over your match and your style in a WWE-style match as opposed to the traditional Evolve-style matches. Like, you know, you can go out there and you could have your... I mean, who do we see going into Evolve? I mean, we saw like Roddy versus Drew Galloway.
Yeah.
Davey Richards versus Drew Gulak, matches like that. It's a stark contrast from what you see in, you know, in NXT. And a lot of there were some dangerous spots and stuff. So I wonder if this is more like, hey, work on changing your style to the WWE style and get that match over now. So when you get to NXT, you're prepared for it. You don't go through that transitional phase.
Yeah, it could be. I guess also maybe they figure, you know, whenever they get, if and when a guy gets to NXT, he's going to get his own character there anyway. So maybe to develop one now, they feel like maybe wouldn't be valuable. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, that's a good point too, yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess this is, maybe these are reasons why Ethan Page left this week and all that type of stuff that's going, I don't know what has to do with what, but
I'm sure they just lost the titles, Ethan Page and ACH, the Troll Boys. And then, I forgot that happened. And then Davey Richards pulled out of the two shows that we were going to. So I don't know what's going to happen with Evolve. You have Keith Lee, who's a monster. And I'm sure Keith Lee is poised for, you know.
And Riddle.
Matt Riddle. Actually, I don't know if you saw, they announced the show we're going to is Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle in the Last Man Standing match. That should be fantastic. Yeah, I think like I said, I think Gabe was just a little... I think, do the kids still say butt hurt?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I think he was a little butt hurt that somebody posted that, and he was just trying to make it sound like a bigger deal than it was. So, actually, we're talking about NXT. So speaking of NXT, you said, you know, you haven't watched NXT in a while, right?
Or you? No, I watch NXT every week.
Impact was when you said you hadn't watched. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. You're such a big NXT mark. Forget me, man. Sorry. God, I watched this week's show too.
Good.
I thought it was.
I'm glad you did.
I did. I'm a big fan of Heavy Machinery. Really like those guys. So what? They're moving forward, obviously, with the is it the Undisputed Era or Undisputed?
I don't know.
With the worst. Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Adam Cole, they're the main attraction right now in NXT. I think they're called the Undisputed Era or Undisputed, I'm not sure. But they are the main focus of the organization right now, and I think that's the right thing to do. They have a budgeting feud. Budgeting?
Burgeoning.
Burgeoning? Burgeoning?
Budding?
Bludgeoning. No, you're right. Budding. It's budding. Budding feud with Sanity. And the main event this week was EY versus Adam Cole. The match didn't get much time. It got about 8 or 9 minutes. What did you think of it? Was it
good? Short, yeah. I thought it was like 5 or 6, to be honest. But it was not long. They didn't really do a whole lot. If they would have given them maybe 10 or 15, that would have been better. But, I mean, the right
probably guy don't want to give that match away on free TV, right? I think a Undisputed Era versus Sanity 3-on-3 match. That match has a lot of potential. That's something you might see down the line. But I saw for the next NXT TakeOver show, who is it? It's Red Dragon versus Office of Pain versus Sanity for the tag team title. I believe that's what I saw.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember all the spoilers that came out. That sounds right, because I do know Office of Pain is scheduled to return at some point here.
Okay. Are Red Dragon going to win the title?
I don't know.
Do you think they're going
to win? I don't know yet. It's too soon to tell. I have to let the booking play out and see how it goes. I don't know. I mean, are they going to do, McIntyre against Cole right away? I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do that either. It's hard to say. And then they just put the titles on McIntyre and Sanity respectively at the last takeover. So I don't know if they're going to turn around and switch one or both of them right away. I mean, logic would dictate that if you have this new group that has come in, and you're trying to get them with momentum, if you're going to put them in title matches immediately, then they should win, right? I would think. If they're going to keep going down that path, then they should get both titles right away and be running with both of those probably until at least WrestleMania Mania. Weekend.
And then you have the faces win, and then hopefully by that time they go to the main roster.
Maybe.
Look at that. You just freestyle booked until WrestleMania for NXT.
We'll see. I mean, they haven't been there that long, so usually guys stay around like a year or so. I don't know if they'll stay. They only really kind of quote unquote debuted SummerSlam weekend
about a month ago. Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, that would be my thought now. If they're going to put them both in title matches at the next takeover, which is in Houston in November, I believe.
Is it for Survivor Series weekend?
I think so.
Okay.
Then I would think that you would have them both win so that they both have the titles. Authors of Pain would then probably leave, I would expect, and then we'll go from there.
How far away do you think Roderick Strong is from main roster?
Probably a decent amount away.
You think so?
I don't know. He doesn't really have much. I mean, they did that whole story with his real life and his wife and his kid and all that, which was nice, and then he got the win over Bobby Roode before he left. Now he's going to fight McIntyre for the championship next week on next week's show. But he doesn't seem to have much of a character or long-term arc right now. And I don't know, putting him on the main roster, I don't know what they would do with him right now.
Same thing they do with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I mean, which is not what you want.
No, right? Definitely not. I think it's best he stays in NXT. I think you're right. McIntyre, I don't know if they're going to bring McIntyre back to the main roster anytime soon either. I feel like he was there and it didn't really work out well for him, and he seems to be doing pretty well in NXT. But I feel like his win for the title was really overshadowed by, Cole O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. So I would like to see him stay around, the title picture too. But then you have like a guy like EY, who's not around the title picture, but EY's got to be almost 40, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think him and Roode are pretty close to the same age.
38, 39, 40. Like, so where are they going to go? Or are we going to see Cole versus EY versus Galloway, like around Royal Rumble at the NXT show?
I don't know. I don't know if they see EY as at that level.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean, they've never really put him at that level since he's gotten here. I mean, since he's been with Sanity, he's just been. I mean, I think their first main feuds with Sanity, right, were Ty Dillinger. I think he kind of feuded with him a bunch, and then he fought Roderick once or twice and lost those matches, and now he's kind of, again, they're feuding with the Undisputed Era or whatever they are, but I would imagine that Saturday's not going to get the upper hand at the end of that. So he seems like he's just a guy that's kind of there to work with different people in the middle of the card, maybe floating up and down in various spots, kind of like
Chris Hero style,
kind of like Cassius Ohno is right now, where he kind of, he'll wrestle certain guys. He could be in the title picture. He might be a little bit lower than that. He could be in a tag team. He could do different things and just try to get quality matches and develop their storylines and feuds as they want, because they trust some of these guys as veterans to do that with some of the younger wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean, then you had who is this kid that Cassius Ohno beat on NXT this week? Eichner?
Eichner, yeah.
There is no way he is 205 and below. Your man's walking around like 240. Unless he's like 3'9", he is a monster. And he pulls off that triple jump moonsault pretty well. I thought that was a good match too. And I think you're right about Cassius Ohno. He's in that, like, should they need somebody to go to the title picture, he's always going to be ready. But for right now, they're gonna put him in, like, with the Itamis of the world. You know, there's so many guys in NXT, but there's so... You have 1 hour a week, and you have, one singles title, right? You have the champ.
Yeah,
you have one singles title, and you have a lot of guys that are just there. You know, you don't see a lot of them, which these are the guys that probably should be on your Raws and your SmackDowns, but they don't have, I guess they don't have the charisma. They're like Hideo Itami, like, what's up with him? Oney Lorcan, he's getting himself over with... Who's the other dude that looks just like him?
Danny Burch,
yeah. Those are guys that could be doing something, but they're just kind of... They're not circling the drain. That's a poor wording. They're kind of just treading water. How about that? They're treading water, you know? But NXT has been a good show. I thought it was a really good show this week. You a big heavy machinery guy? Like, a big mark for that?
I like them just fine. I
mean, some different, you know?
Yeah.
And then who's the monster with the Popeye forearms?
Lars or whatever his
name Lars is. Fred? No, Lars Fredrickson. Lars Ulrich? No. Lars, whatever. He's,
I don't want to guess because I'm going to be wrong, but I think it's like Lars Anderson or something like that.
Lars Ulrich? No, that's a guy from Lars NXT as we Google this live. Lars Sullivan. He's huge, man. I would like to see him versus Braun Strowman at some point. I think that's something that's got legs,
yep,
as the kids say. But I thought NXT was a good show. And I think, like I said, I think the Undisputed Era and Sanity, you know, it's fresh. It's a different look for NXT. Because for me, when Bobby Roode was there, it's kind of when I stopped paying attention as much. No offense to Bobby Roode, but I thought it just kind of got stale after a while. And there's just so much talent right now in NXT. And they fit like four matches to the show this week, right?
Yeah. I think that it's only an hour, like you said, so it's hard to get everybody on each week, but it also helps because then you can build to the following weeks and they advertise stuff, you know, out each week. Like 2 weeks ago, they said it was going to be McIntyre versus Strong, right, for the title in 2 weeks. And then this week, he said it was going to be Gargano versus Andrade Almas in 2 weeks. So like, then now they've got stuff that they've taped. And last week, I think they advertised Cole's debut, so they had that this week.
Yeah, that's true.
They've had stuff where they can say, okay, this week it's going to be this is happening, and now they've got some of these women's matches that are going to happen to try to find out who's going to be in the Fatal 4-Way for the vacated women's championship. So the one-hour shows, I think, lend themselves more to longer-term and more meticulously laid-out plans of booking because, as you know... where you need to go, as opposed to Raw, where it's 3 hours every week, so you don't know. Like, you have to fill out every win. It's just, I'm sure it's very difficult to do. I have no idea, but it just makes it a lot more challenging to try to fill 3 hours versus, you know, you can tape 4 1-hour shows in one night, and you know, you're good for a month type of thing.
Hell, you could tape 4 30-minute shows and then just do video packages. But I think you're right about that. They do a very good job in NXT of getting you to watch next week, or at least telling you what's going to happen. So it's something you could think about throughout the week. But I have been really enjoying NXT, so we'll see where that... I haven't read the spoilers either, so I'm going to keep my eyes glued to the TV for NXT. And really quickly... I think I sent you the video or the picture before. You know what happens when you jump in the ring if you're a fan and the Undisputed Era is in the ring? you're going to get kicked in the face by Kyle O'Reilly. So I wonder what that fan was thinking. He jumped the guardrail. It was the Undisputed Era versus Heavy Machinery and Cassius Ohno. Like, what? You think you're going to jump in the ring and somebody's not going to kick you in the face? Like, I would love to hear the fan side of that story. But enough pro wrestling. I think what people really listen to our show for, because I'm sure they've all made it 41 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Is our new favorite segment, Two Idiots Talking Sports.
You're watching Channel 4 News with five-time Emmy Award-winning anchor Ron Burgundy and Tits McGee.
Fish tacos are the tits.
Tits! I'll show you your tits!
If nothing else comes from this show, that intro is one of my favorite of all time. While we...
Do you want the NFL music?
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, probably should have queued you up on that one. So, another week down. We're already, what, 3 weeks into the NFL season?
Yeah, this is week 4, man.
It's brutal, man. I hate it. It feels like football's gone forever. And then when it's here, it's like...
Oh, here you go.
Right where we left off last week. Tremendous.
Actually, it is. So.
Yeah. So, I think as we talked about last week, The London game was a little bit surprising to me. Jaguars, I wouldn't expect the Jaguars to put up 44 points all week, let alone in one game against the Baltimore Ravens.
But, but crazy things happen in London with these games, so that's what happens.
Yeah,
there's another one this week, so
yeah,
be careful if you're looking at
Miami and New Orleans, correct?
Yes,
I'm prepared, man. I'm prepared.
Okay, good.
So speaking of prepared, I don't remember who I picked last week, so I'm excited to see where we are in the rankings.
You don't remember what we picked last week?
No, I don't. Where were we? Let's see.
You went 2-1 last week. I went 3-0.
3-0? Who'd you pull on? I don't believe this.
You don't believe it?
No. Who did the Colts play?
They played the Browns at home. They were getting 1.5.
Cowboys -3. Damn it. Who'd I miss out on?
You're the Broncos -3 at Buffalo.
You thought that would have been a lock, huh? Every single time the football picks are on, somebody's calling the house. This guy's a stud, man. Tell one of your biddies they can't. Like, who is that? Who is that? Is that Kimona?
It's a private caller.
A private call. Is that private call? Why is there avatar boobs? Who's calling? Like, who?
What's an avatar boobs?
An avatar, you know, on your cell phone, when it calls, it shows up the avatar of the person, and it's nothing but tits, man.
It's my house phone.
You're just really ruining, like,
I know.
Ruining the mystique here. All right. So let's go.
You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
No, I want you to go first.
All right.
Let's see who we're taking this week. Everybody knows the deal. We each pick 3 with the point spread. We're going to win this week. So now, are we tied?
We are tied for the year.
We are tied for the year, Daddy. Let's do this. Who are you going with this week?
I'll take the Saints in London -3. I don't have any faith in the Dolphins with Jay Cutler, like, at all.
I have faith in Jay Ajayi. He's due for a breakout game, but I don't know if it's going to be it, so.
Yeah. I'll take the Saints -3.
Taking the Saints -3. All right. I'm taking the Detroit Lions +2 over the Vikings. I don't know if Casey Keenum's going to play, if it's going to be Sam Bradford.
What? Casey Kasem? Is that what you said?
Casey Keenum. I don't know if Shaggy Scooby-Doo's going to play. I'm telling you, Matt Stafford's going to throw the ball all over the place, and they're going to beat the Vikings straight up.
Okay. I'll take the Ravens getting 3 points at home against the Steelers. Those games are always close, A. B, the Steelers are a different team on the road than they are at home, especially in the division. Usually these games are pretty tight, so I'm going to say Baltimore will bounce back from last week's debacle. I'll take them at home getting 3 points.
That's a good pick. Those are always tough. I'm also, even though they stepped on my nuts last week, I'm going to take the Broncos giving up 2.5 at home to the Raiders. Mainly because my daily fantasy, I went Trevor Siemian to Emmanuel Sanders like crazy this week, and I have... And you know what? Derek Carr just hasn't been very good this season. And McCrabtree's hurt, kind of hurt, may play, may not play. Marshawn Lynch has been pedestrian at best. I think, and it's tough to play in Denver, man. I'm going the Broncos.
Yeah, that was my third pick. I have Denver getting the 2.5. I think yes! It's a different team at home. Giving 2.5, rather, excuse me. I think they're a different team at home.
Oakland had a tough game last week, or tough showing, rather. I didn't think it was going to be a tough game in Washington on Sunday night, and they just looked really bad. And Cooper's not been catching balls, and Crabtree is hurt. Denver's defense is, of course, very good, so I'm going to take the Broncos minus 2.5 also.
You know what? I don't want to take the Monday night game because I personally think the Redskins are going to cover the spread, but I am not going to cheer for the Redskins. I can't do it being that I'm, you know, an NFC East guy. So I'm going to go ahead and say... No, that's the other... Now I'm on the spot because my two things were that I was thinking the Eagles and the Redskins, and I don't want either of them to win.
Trying to get them games the right.
Yeah, but my heart and my brain often work separate from each other. So I'm going to say the Jaguars go buck wild in the Jets and cover the spread of 3.5. I have no faith in the Jets whatsoever. Bilal Powell, who I thought was a decent, at best, running back. They don't even trust him to run the ball, and they have, like, their seventh-string dude running.
Really? I haven't watched any Jet games, so, you know, I just know Forte's hurt, so I'm expecting Powell to have, like, a lot of touches in this game.
I was thinking the same thing, and I was listening to Sirius, and they were saying the guy behind Forte in the depth chart they think is the best runner on the team.
Oh, I don't even know who that is.
Me neither. I'm going to look it up right now while you're doing this, but go ahead.
Oh. Well, that's it. I made all my picks, so.
You went through?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we can still, you know, buy time until you look up who that running back is.
Yeah, I'll wait. Keep going.
That's fine. I'll just keep talking.
No one. What surprised you last week in the NFL?
What surprised me last week in the NFL? The Oakland game was very surprising to me. I expected them to win that game, and they just looked awful. They only even scored a touchdown based off of a turnover that they got deep in Washington territory. That was pretty surprising to me. You know, a bunch of 0-2 teams got some wins. The Saints went into Carolina and got a win. The Jets won their game at home. Green Bay almost lost at home to Cincinnati. They went to take overtime to do that. You know, Houston was on 0-2 team, but they were going into New England and almost pulled off a win there, nearly knocking me out of my survivor pool. So there was a lot of crazy games last week. There were other games, too, I think, that people, you know, in survivor pools got wrong. I think people had Miami beating the Jets. That didn't work out. People had Pittsburgh beating Chicago. That didn't work out.
Yep.
So there's a lot of crazy stuff that happened last week. There's a lot of games that were closer than expected.
Explain to me something about... Oh, Elijah McGuire is the third string Jets running back, who's probably going to break out for a crazy month this week. Larry Fitzgerald's what, 65, 7 years old?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it, man. He's unbelievably cold. Like, what, 13 balls against Cowboys last week?
Almost cost me a fantasy matchup. I was up by 30.5 points going into the Monday night game, and my opponent only had Fitzgerald. I ended up winning by, like, 3. It was pretty crazy.
Well, it was PPR?
Half point.
Oh, thank God. It was a full point. You were blown out. Yeah. Unbelievable. That game, that was a tough game for me to watch last week. I think the Cowboys ran 3 plays in the first quarter. Dez Bryant, I think it might be time to bump up Bryce Butler on the depth chart over Dez Bryant. Because at least Bryce Butler can get behind people. Dez Bryant's brutal. He did make one of the best run after catches I've ever seen. He carried like 3 defenders, but... Two catches for 12 yards isn't going to get it done. What's up with Mariota, too? You know, like, I don't know. He was a lot of hubbub about Mariota going into this year, being a top fantasy quarterback, a top-tier QB. He went down with the injury in the, what was the last game of the regular season last year?
It was late in the year. I don't remember exactly when, but he like broke his leg, I believe.
I drafted him because I have faith in him, because if you're not taking Aaron Rodgers... or Drew Brees or Tom Brady, then you're not drafting a quarterback for the first 7 or 8 rounds. And I was like, I'll just get Russell Wilson and Mariota on the way back. And one of my leagues, somebody dropped Mariota in week 2. So I picked him up. So I actually had Russell Wilson and Mariota. Now let me ask you something. I'm going to ask you about this trade. I want to pull up. I'm obviously going to start Russell Wilson each week. I'm not going to start Mariota, but he's a nice backup QB. So somebody was saying they want a QB1 and all of their wide receivers on the table. So I traded straight up Mariota for Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders has been Trevor Siemian's favorite target. He got 14 looks, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was struggling in the wide receiver spot because I have Dez, who's been underwhelming. I also had, I'm pulling up my team here. God, this music is, I just want to... This is tremendous. Yeah, so I have Diggs, Keenan Allen, Kelvin Benjamin, Marquise Lee, and AJ Green in this league. And they're all, but they're all like pedestrian. AJ Green, I thought was going to be a stud, and Cincinnati's one of the worst teams in the league.
Well, so far, right? He's going to get his numbers eventually.
You would like to think so. Kelvin Benjamin, nothing for me. Nothing on the table here.
How many receivers do you have to start?
Two receivers and a flex.
And you have AJ Green.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Right.
And who else?
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen. Is this PPR league?
This is a PPR.
Yeah, that's your money right there, dude.
Who's that, Keenan Allen?
Green, AJ Green, Stephon Diggs, and Keenan Allen. I'd rock those guys every week. Keenan Allen got like usually gets a lot of looks or a lot of targets from Rivers every game. I think he leads their team in targets, as long as he doesn't blow his knee out again.
That's the other thing I'm really worried about.
And the Eagles' secondary is not very good, I'm pretty sure, based off of what I saw last week. So I have him starting in a couple of leagues this week, at like two or three.
Keenan Allen, yeah. See, the thing about Diggs is, as long as he's a stud when Bradford's in the lineup, when Bradford's out, it's Thielen all day, bro.
Yeah, I'm Thielen.
It's Wheeling, Dealing's.
Adam Thielen, man.
Wheeling, Dealing, is that a thing? Has he done that?
It could be.
That's Kiss Thielen, Wheeling, Dealing. Oh, it's got a Ric Flair promo all over it. I mean, running backs in that league, I have LeSean McCoy, again, who's drafted in the first round, hasn't done much for me. Leonard Fournette, who I got around the bend, and Isaiah Crowell. So I don't have any, like, top tier guys. I got a bunch of guys who are just, you know, right in the middle of the pack. However, I've been packaging either Benjamin Sanders and Benjamin Allen, just trying to ship them around for a good RB1. Now, out of those guys, so I got AJ Green, Diggs, Keenan Allen, Kelvin Benjamin, Marquise Lee, and Emmanuel Sanders. If I'm trying to package a deal to somebody, what two would you ship out?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're trying to get back.
I want an RB1.
If you want an RB1?
I'd have to throw Keenan Allen in the mix, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to throw Keenan Allen in the mix. You know, Allen and one of the other guys. I mean, I wouldn't trade Green or I wouldn't trade Allen and Diggs. That's too much, I would say. So maybe
Allen and Diggs, maybe for Kareem Hunt. That would be like, yeah. That, but you know, like an elite.
So
RB1.
Like you could do like Allen and Sanders, maybe for like a mid level like RB1. I don't know who that would be, but I mean McCoy is a solid guy. He seems to you know start putting up. I mean he had a good first week, and then the last 2 weeks he hasn't done a lot.
He gave me some points last week because he's PPR league, so he's you know he's going to catch 5 or 6 goals.
So he's a solid play every week as long as he's healthy. You just need somebody else, and whether it's we have Fournette and who is your other option?
Crowell.
Yeah,
Crowell's been rough. They're giving him the ball, but the Browns are so bad.
I know. People were kind of high on Crowell because he gets a lot of touches in the beginning.
That's why I was so high on him because he's their 3-down back.
Yeah, I don't like to pick players on bad teams if I can avoid it. Usually, but yeah. I mean it's hard to. So I mean Fournette, we'll have to see. I mean he has the Jets this week. I don't know what to expect there. I mean Jai didn't do anything against the Jets last week, so I don't know if they're going to bottle him up. Or if you know they're going to go back to being the Jets and he'll get a solid game. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. So you're telling me right now I am shipping out. Let's just say Keenan Allen, and I want to get rid of Kelvin Benjamin. I'm close to dropping Kelvin Benjamin.
Well, that's the thing. No, that's so if you want to get somebody back, no one's gonna right because Cam Newton kind of stinks now, from what I understand.
I think he's just beaten. You know,
so like Benjamin's value is lowered based off of that. At least like with Sanders, he's getting a lot of targets from Simeon, and it looks like Denver's going to be a decent team, as they have been so far. And Allen, while he's on a bad team, they're on an offense that's expected to be a little more high powered than they've been.
Right, and Rivers isn't afraid to chuck the ball.
And Rivers is going to throw the ball, you know, a lot. So I would think that those two guys would be guys that like I would take. I don't know who I would be willing to give up for that, but you know.
So you're saying I'm going to Sanders and Keenan Allen. That's my package for an RB1, a mid to high level RB1.
Yeah, I mean I don't know. Are there guys that you're targeting to get from somebody?
I really want Kareem Hunt or Dalvin Cook.
That's probably Hunt you won't get, I would say, but
I'd have to throw
Cook might maybe somebody.
Would you go AJ Green trade up for Kareem Hunt?
Which side of the deal am I on?
You're the AJ Green side. You would do that, right?
I'm giving up AJ Green to get Kareem Hunt? Yeah, I would do that.
You do that? Especially in a PPR league.
Yeah. If Hunt stays healthy, they're just going to keep every week.
Keep feeding him.
Yeah.
Push off Tyreek Hill, too, who's a tremendous wide receiver. So, I also like Marquise Lee. Ever since Allen Robinson went down, he's been getting all the targets. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of Bortles safety net. You know, Bortles just has to get him the ball. That's all. I could literally listen to NFL primetime music all day. Do we have to end it? We have to end it.
We have to end the segment at some point here, so.
Like, oh.
Yeah, it's over.
That was, man, that got really sad. On that note, man, I like talking football. Fantasy football is so good when you're. How are you doing your leagues, by the way?
I'm all over the place. I'm in six leagues, so it's hard to, you know.
Man, that's tough.
It's hard to gauge. But I have two teams that are 3-0. I have one team that's 2-1, and three teams that are 1-2. So.
But okay.
We'll see.
I'm 3-0, 2-1, 2-1, 1-2. So it's, like I said, it's all over the place this year. Well, we appreciate you stopping by the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. All Night Long Football Podcast, it should be, this week. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, at All Night Long WP, Facebook.com/AllNightLongWP. Where else can people check us out?
Damage 365 Radio. Did you talk about that already?
Damage 365 Radio Network. I did not talk about that already. We appreciate that. You got a lot of listens from Damage 365 last week. Nasta's doing a lot of things over there. A lot of big things. Again, a couple of conventions coming up. You know, I believe, rumor has it, there's a Survivor Series viewing party scheduled. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
I wonder who's going to be there. You think we're going to be there?
No, probably not. I think it's in like Jersey or something. Also, we're not invited, so.
That's brutal. I like the burial in the back end. Well, the back end burial. That's right. But again, we appreciate you checking us out. And iTunes, like, subscribe. What is it? Like? No, you can't like it. You could subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. We appreciate that. We begged for those a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, even our relatives don't do it. So if somebody out there could, that would be great.
I'll send you a free shirt. Not like one of our shows. Like, I'll just, if you like.
Something out of your closet, right?
Yeah. Like, since I'm moving, since I'm buying a house, I have like a ton of shirts now that I found that I never wear. So I have like a Cesaro shirt. If you, hold on, here's what you do. If you.
That was a gift.
What?
That was a gift. Wasn't it?
No, not the red one.
Okay.
Not the red one from BK.
Say, you can't be re-gifting.
That's a Superman shirt. Okay. No. I have a Daniel Bryan shirt. Here's what I'm going to say. If you like, or if you review and rate our show on iTunes, and you take a picture, and you send it to us, I will give you a shirt. Fine print, you're going to have to come meet me somewhere. But I will give you a shirt literally off my back. I will wear it, sweat in it, take it off, and then give it to you. Think that'll get people to review?
Nope.
Didn't think so either. Well, thank you for checking out the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. He is the Stallion, I am the Enforcer, and we're tapping out this week.
It's really low.
It is pretty low, yeah.
There we go.
There she is. Nice.